Did you experience damage to your home or business from Hurricane Irma? Don't wait. The deadline to file an insurance claim is September 10th, 2020. Call the pros at East Coast Public Adjusters, 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA.
We're going to talk a little Inter-Miami. We do it every week at the same time with the same person who does a phenomenal job of covering this team on a daily basis. The only outlet that's allowing them to travel, too, with the team. So they're covering them everywhere. She will be this Saturday in St. Pete to watch them take on the Tampa Bay Rowdies. She is Michelle Kaufman. You can follow her on Twitter, like I and so many others do, at Kauf Sports, and catch her exceptional work there at the Miami Herald website. Michelle, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing great. I had a blast on Saturday, man. That was a lot of fun to watch the team take the field, right?
It was nice to see you there, but it was bringing back memories, right, of the Fusion days.
Yes, you're right about that. And I was happy I was there. I got the money shot. We got the first goal in public, which was a beautiful thing. The other thing that I was dying to do is to see the stadium, and I got to tell you something, man, that's a really nice little stadium that the Tampa Bay Rowdies have there.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, my husband, Dave, who sat in the stands, he said, I don't know that I've ever been in a more beautiful, the view from there. You're sitting there watching soccer now before it was baseball, and you are overlooking the Bay. Of course, this is exactly what David Beckham wanted, which I put in the lead to my story.
Yes.
When he got here 6 years ago, he said he wanted an open-ended stadium overlooking the Bay with the turquoise water and the sailboats and all that stuff. That's exactly what they have there. You're sitting there at the Rowdy Stadium with an open side, and you're looking out over the game, and then off in the, the backdrop of the game is Tampa Bay. And there was a sailing regatta going on. There were hundreds of sailboats out there. It was a glorious day. And it's a really beautiful sight to be watching sports literally on the waterfront.
It was a really beautiful thing. And by the way, the player that scored was finally announced. Have you ever seen that?
Several days later. No, that was so crazy. I mean, that was really just legalities and immigration things that they felt that they couldn't make any reference to him, even though Pizarro was at the practice on Friday. We saw him practice. We spoke to Paul McDonough, those of us that were there. We spoke to Paul McDonough at length about Pizarro, so that the sporting director of the team is talking about the guy. The other players were talking about the guy. The guy was there at the practice. Then on Saturday, they put him in the game. He scores on his fourth touch. He scores the goal, the historic first goal. And then when you go on the social media for the team and their website and you get their press release, his name is not mentioned anywhere. His photo was nowhere. It just said, Philadelphia took the lead, that so-and-so scored, Sergio Santiago. And then Inter-Miami tied it up in the 34th minute. And then in the second half, this happened. It doesn't say anything about the goal, nor did it have any pictures. So, and then on Monday, literally 3 days after he showed up at the practice and 2 days after he scores the historic goal, they sent a press release saying, oh, by the way, we signed Rodolfo Pizarro. And there's all these quotes about how great it is to have him. So it was very strange. Even my daughter noticed. My daughter, who's in college, she follows Inter Miami on Instagram, and she wrote me, and she's like, Mom, what's going on that they're like hiding the player who scored the goal? And she knew that he scored because I had sent her a picture, and I sent her my story. She goes, you had it right there in your story, and there's pictures of him everywhere. Why are they hiding this guy? It looks very sketchy. She told me, it looks very sketchy. So it was a bizarre situation that a team would have a guy for 3 days before they announce him. But it was really because of immigration and contract issues and whatever that, some specific paperwork apparently needed to be signed before they could officially announce him.
Yeah, no doubt. And they still have the other international player that they've got to sign, correct?
They're going to sign two. They have two spots left. They're both going to be from abroad. You know, they're both going to be international players. One of them will be a higher price player. That's the DP. And the other one will be another international player that won't be as expensive as the DP. But they have 28 players out of the 30, and the two, Paul McDonough said that they have two puzzle pieces left that they're working on. So one of them, I know that they've been negotiating with Agustin Almendra from Boca Juniors, but they are up against, again, some European teams are now bidding for him pretty big. So that guy is one name that has come up. And then the big DP name is one that is still out there, and Cavani's name still comes up. That you know, don't put that one away yet. That one could still happen.
Right. Okay. All right. That'll be interesting if it does happen. I mean, they got to add the juice to it because they're going to need that star quality here, because that's the one thing that I keep hearing from fans when they ask me about it. I go, hey man, I don't see any big names yet, and it's, you know, our town. Michelle, and the beauty is that Jorge Mas knows this better than we do. He understands. He knows that they need stars. That's the one buzz that I think is missing from this team.
Right, that is true. However, I just posted a story that they're sold out for the opening game. The only way you can get tickets for, they sold out of all the season tickets. The single game tickets that went on sale yesterday in a pre-sale are already sold out. So the only way that you can go see the opening game at this point is if you buy season ticket package.
Wow.
So they've already sold out their first game, and the next two games are closed. The second and third, they put the first, second, and third games on sale yesterday, pre-sale for single tickets, and the opening game sold out. There are limited tickets left for the second and third game.
That's awesome.
So star or no star, that stadium is not that big. It's 19,000. So, you know, star or no star, I think they're going to have a pretty good crowd there.
Oh, no, I expected a crowd. I expect a buzz. I expect the support, all of that.
Right.
But you know what's coming down the line.
People want the face.
Yes.
People want the face of the franchise. They want somebody, you know, that everybody knows that, you know, Pizarro is very well known in Mexico. He's very well known, like, in Houston and L.A., and this is where people pay attention to the Mexican national team in Chicago, areas where there are a lot of Mexicans. And people who watch the U.S. national team against Mexico obviously know who he is, or people who watch Liga MX. But for everyone else, for the fans here that are from Argentina, Colombia, England, Germany, France, whatever, Pizarro is not an everyday name. He's not a household name. So, you know, that's the name that we're still, the name that every soccer fan would know is the one that's still missing.
Right. Anything new developed, so far this week?
Well, there's some brouhaha about the shirt sponsor, because Qatar Airways is one of the candidates. They're negotiating with, they're looking at, they want their name sponsor and their shirt sponsor to be in the tourism industry because of Miami being the tourist hub that it is. And the idea is that this is going to be MLS's global team. That's kind of how they're going to be marketed, as the league's global team. So they are looking at cruise lines. There's a couple of cruise lines, airlines, and hotel chains. That's kind of the direction they're going for their shirt sponsor. The word is that Qatar, as you know, has more money than, like, the entire world put together. That's how they got the World Cup. They are bidding. They're bidding very, very, very big dollars, like, seriously, serious big, big dollars.
Okay.
To be the sponsor of this team.
Makes sense.
But it does make sense. But, you know, Qatar is a country that has come under fire for human rights issues. You know, the gay community, there may be some people not too thrilled with it. The Jewish community, there may be people not thrilled with it. Women, you know, it's a place that does not have the best record as far as human rights with the workers that were building the stadiums and, you know, poor people, women, gay, and Jewish. It's not a place that has a great record with those groups. and not like the United States anyway. So, yes, they are sponsors of many, many big teams around the world. Barcelona, as we know, was sponsored by Qatar Airways for 6 years before they switched in 2017. But they are now the sponsors of Bayern Munich. They're the sponsors of AS Roma. They're the sponsors of Boca Juniors. They are the official FIFA sponsor. They are the official airline sponsor of FIFA. They are hosting the next World Cup. And beIN Sports, which is based here in Miami, is owned by Qatar. So beIN Sports, the TV network, is owned by Qatar. So they have a lot of connections in sports, and particularly in soccer. And this would be one more. It's a sponsor that will, that may come with some, a bit of controversy, as opposed to if it were, you know, some random hotel chain or cruise line. But the money that's being offered, I'm hearing, is enormous.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've heard the same thing about the money being, but listen, Michelle, if we're asking an owner to build two stadiums, bring
yes.
two teams, fill it up with talent.
Bring a DP that we've heard of.
Right. And then bring us stars and all. And then, you know, hey, brother, what do you think? This is done with, like, no money? This is, you know, it's like I've got some people like, hey, when are you going to add phone lines to the show so we can call in? I'm like, well, right. Whenever you guys want to step up and, you know, help build the studio for me and, you know, help buy the lines for me, all that, we will definitely add them and all that. But, you know, it's easy to ask and ask and ask, but you got to provide somehow. You got to work for it. And so remember, they're not bringing one team. They're bringing two. They're not building
yep.
one stadium.
Yeah,
they're building
too. Yep.
two stadiums, okay?
Yep.
So it takes
yep.
a lot of money to buy two stadiums, two teams, and fill them up with players and all that stuff. And it's really nice to drive by Lockhart and say, wow, how beautiful that is. Well, that beautifulness cost a lot of money, baby. You got to get it from somewhere.
Yeah, that beautifulness up there is to the tune of about $130 million at this point.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, now, keep in mind, like Ken Horowitz, to put in perspective, in 1997, Ken Horowitz put $5 million into Lockhart, and that was considered a big investment.
Yes.
He invested $5 million out of pocket. Mm-hmm. We made a big deal of it. Ken Horowitz is putting $5 million out of his own money, you know, to make Lockhart Stadium playable. And this guy is spending, this group, it's not one guy, but this group is spending $100 million for that. And that's not even their intended final stadium.
Right.
That's
yeah.
their temporary stadium and their training facility. So, yeah, it's costing a lot of money. And they, you know, and if they want to sign a DP, that costs a lot of money. And even these guys, Pizarro was $12 million. You know, I think Pellegrini was around $9 million or something. So they're spending a lot of money. They're spending a lot of money on this team. They have a very large staff. You know, again, not like the Fusion. This group has many, you know, even in the PR department, they've got people that are just doing videos. They have people that are doing social media. They have someone who's handling the day-to-day, you know, reporter requests. And then they have, you know, a full-time vice president of communications. So they're, you know, they are operating as a major league sports team, and it's very expensive. So, you know, if it comes down to dollars, Qatar Airways is definitely in the running.
Yeah, and I don't blame them if they go with Qatar. I completely understand it. And listen, if we start checking everybody's record all around the world, there aren't too many people that are perfect. Okay, so you
only
know,
us. Yeah,
you know, so you know what I'm saying. So let's not throw rocks when we ourselves live in one hell of a glass house here in this country too. Okay,
right.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know we're as guilty too of doing some shady stuff here. It's you know it's almost I've gotten into this, and I don't want to get into politics or anything like that. But
no,
it's,
we're not getting into politics.
No. But it's okay. Funny when somebody says, "Well, this flag doesn't represent everybody the right way." Well, guess what? I can say that about every flag in this world. That mm-hmm. no flag in any country has represented every human being the right way, men or women, gay or straight, black or white, brown, green, blue, Jewish, Protestant, Catholic, whatever. There's no such thing as one country that's handled everything the right way in their history. Mm-hmm. everybody's got stuff that they're ashamed of because, unfortunately, we're all human and we, you know, we're not perfect. And so no country's built perfectly. That's for damn sure. So, all right, what is now, how have they responded? Have they, have you asked about this at all? Are they worried about any of the backlash or anything like that?
Well, they're aware of it. They're very aware of it. They're not saying too much. They're really still negotiating with a few companies. So nothing has been settled yet. You know, there are, you know, of course, the tabloids in England, they like to, you know, publish things and what some of them is true and some is not true. But, you know, from the people that I spoke to within the organization, nothing has been finalized. Nothing has been done yet. They are negotiating with those companies. They're very aware. I mean, they're very aware of, you know, because of the World Cup. I mean, they know that there was a backlash with Qatar hosting the World Cup. So they're aware that any affiliation with Qatar is probably going to have some of the same concerns as everybody had when Qatar won the World Cup bid. So they're aware. I'm sure, like I said, because they are acting like a professional organization, I am sure that they are, you know, they're very aware of all the ramifications of the different choices and what they make. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right,
as for this week, yeah, go ahead.
Let me ask you a question that's a little odd. I don't know if you've approached them about this. When it comes to the USL, is it going to be when Inter's on the road, their home, or will they do this also, play both games on certain days? Maybe have the USL team open it up so that way people can, you know, the Inter fans can come early and get a taste of the USL team. How are they going to handle that at that stadium?
I don't know. They have not released their schedule. That is a good question. My initial thought was that they were going to play when the other team is not there.
You're right, right. That's right.
But, you know, in some ways maybe it makes sense to do some on the same day, because then you hire the stadium staff for one day, you know, not for two. I mean, they would have to work longer hours, obviously, but you only have to get the stadium ready and the food and this and that on certain dates. So I don't know. That's a good question, and I will ask that question, and I'll have the answer for you before next Wednesday.
Yeah, because I think
a good question.
I think it's a great and I think they should have an exhibition or a preseason one between both. That way people can go see both their teams and all that stuff, because I know I'm one of the few. I know you're going to be another one of the crazies, but I'm going to go there to go see the USL team too on some other days. I have no.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually looking forward to going over into my backyard and seeing the Miami FC now that they're in the USL. I'm going to go support them a little bit too. You know, I'm you know how it is, Michelle. I'm going to always support local soccer, but it's just I'm interested to see what they do, because I think you want to try to create some pretty cool synergy between both. So you want to educate and you want to show people the different levels, and you know, because we grew up with A ball, AA, and AAA in the majors. Well, you know, the rest of the world grows up with first, second, and third divisions and all that good stuff in soccer all over the world. We kind of got to start to instill that in our crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why I just think it makes a lot of sense. I don't know. I want to see if they end up doing it. By the way, before I let you go, the Wong story was awesome. I loved it. And explain to folks, because this is a young man that plays for the UN basketball team, and he's doing terrific. But Michelle wrote a story about how he kind of got to this place. And in a way, I think his mom came up with a really creative way of instilling hard work and dedication. Explain.
The Isaiah Wong, his mom, he's from Philadelphia area. And his mom had four boys. She was a single mom with four sons. His dad was around sort of some of the time and stuff, but she was really the one who was doing the heavy lifting there. So she made all the four sons sign a contract with her from the time they were in elementary school. Every year at the start of the school year, they signed a contract with their goals on it. And they had to sign the contract and what, you know, say what their goals were for that year, what their grades were going to be, what they were going to do in sports, and then how they were going to behave. So there was behavior on there, there was academics, and there was athletics. And they did a new contract every single year, and the kids tried to live up to their contract. And he is still doing that. He told me when I brought it up with him, because I read that in a story that was written about him during high school. So I asked him about it. He said, I still have a contract with my mom. He said, before the start of this season, I signed a contract with my mom. And some of them were simple things like score 2 points in a college game, make a big play in a college game, start a college game, score 10 points, score 20 points, make ACC Freshman of the Week. And that's the one he did just this week. He was named ACC Freshman of the Week this week from the whole league, which is amazing. He was up against players from Duke and Carolina, all the big schools in Virginia, because he's really come on strong. In place of Chris Leitch, who was injured, they put Isaiah Wong, and he had 23 points on the road at FSU, which is ranked number 8. He had 21 points the next game. So he's been, you know, scoring around 20 points per game, and not only that, but getting assists and rebounds and steals, and he's really been playing very well. So it was pretty cool. And he said his mom is the whole reason that he is where he is, that she, you know, she's made them sign a contract every year. Like, she drew it up like a legal document. She had it printed out. I didn't put all the details, but she like printed out legal documents, and they were all like, you know, it wasn't just written on a sheet of notebook paper. It was like a formal looking document with each kid's goals, and then she would sign it and they would sign it.
You got to interview her. You got to do a story on her.
Yeah.
She's an inspiration for every parent out there. Right. I think it's a great idea, and I'd love to see how I don't think in the story it was how she came up with it, right?
Like, no, it didn't say how she came up with it, but I do know that it worked because the two older sons, they're both, you know, they both have really good jobs. You know, both of them both are employed. One is 28, one is 24. The younger brother is 16, and he's a soccer player. So all four sons have done very well, college educated with jobs. And, you know, now Isaiah is, you know, he got a scholarship to come to UM, and as a freshman, he's in the starting lineup. So the contracts are definitely working for that family.
Yeah, that you got to interview her. I got to hear her story on how she wanted to come up with this, and how she even keeps up with the contracts. Like, do they slack off a little? Does she get on them? You know, all that kind of stuff. I wonder how it's been throughout the years. I think that's a fascinating story. The other thing.
Yeah, that was good. It was a really cool, very inspirational,
I loved
mothering
it.
And the kid is, he really seems like a good kid. He does. Very soft-spoken and humble.
I loved it. Something I never thought I'd see, because out of all the sports, they're the ones that really get the short end of the stick, and that's baseball. And I know it's early in the season, but, man, Gino DeMari having them number one.
They're number one to see the UM baseball team number one again. That's been a while.
I gotta say, I don't know if I really expected that anymore, considering how much more difficult it is nowadays for this UM baseball program to have success compared to, you know, the disadvantages they're at compared to some other programs out there, man. I just hell of an accomplishment by Gino DeMar.
Yeah, absolutely. The UM baseball fans are very excited, and the basketball team has won 2 games in a row, and they play tonight at 9:00. If you happen to be watching, Virginia Tech. So, we'll see what happens. But they have some interesting, you know, this guy, Isaiah Wong, is very good as a freshman. The other freshman is Harlan Beverly, who's also good. And there's another one named Anthony Walker. So there are 3 freshmen who have shown a lot of promise, and they're just going to be sophomores next year. And they've got a couple of big blue chip recruits coming in next year. So next year might be an interesting year.
Right.
The basketball team. This year they're going to just try to, you know, this year their goal is just to kind of improve and see what happens in the ACC tournament. But I think next year could be interesting.
Michelle, do you think, and I was going to let you go, but I have to ask you this. Do you think Roy Williams is losing it a little bit? Because it's really weird. I like him too, and I love what he had to say actually after the press conference, because I don't feel you should ever feel sorry for yourself. I think you got to always, you know, fight the good fight every single day. I love that attitude that he has, but it's really weird that North Carolina's this bad in the ACC,
Michelle. To see them at the bottom.
Yeah, that's not normal. Not with the kind of talent that they get. You should never be that bad.
Two real heartbreakers. Honestly, the last two games that I watched of theirs, one was against Duke, which, of course, my daughter goes to Duke. So she was very much rooting against North Carolina in that game. But that game, honestly, North Carolina had that game won. That was one of the most thrilling overtime endings, you know, in recent basketball history in court, you know, college hoops. So they lost a total heartbreaker there that they were, you know, they were 1 second away from beating Duke, which is a top 10 team. And then this past Saturday, a week later, the same thing with Virginia. You know, they were, again, in position. And you could say, I guess, the winning teams win and the losing teams lose those close games. But they've been in position. It's not like they're being blown out. They did blow out the University of Miami, which shows you where UM was at that time. But I don't think they're – I know this sounds like lame, and people say this in sports all the time. I don't think they're as bad as their record. I really don't think that team is as bad as its record. First of all, Cole Anthony was out for a long period of time. You know, their best player, their big star freshman, he was out injured. And then the way they lost to Duke was really could have gone either way, and the Virginia game could have gone either way. So I don't think they're as bad as the standings show. So I still believe in Roy Williams.
All right. Follow her on Twitter at Koff Sports. Catch her exceptional work covering Inter Miami or the University of Miami at the Miami Herald. As always, Michelle, you are the best. Thank you, as always, for taking some time.
All right. Sure. No problem. Take care.
You got it. Thank you. Okay. There you go. She's always fantastic, man. Always informative. And really, go check out that article she wrote about the young man Wong. I thought that was so cool that the mom would do that, man. That's smart.